This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Not all GM food is food. More and more plants, especially food crops, have been genetically engineered to make pharmaceutical drugs and industrial chemicals. Biotech companies claim that so-called pharma plants are a gateway to better, cheaper drugs. But scientists and environmentalists warn that these crops pose a grave danger to human health and the environment. The Oregon State Senate is debating a bill that would make Oregon the first jurisdiction in North America to place specific restrictions on cultivating pharma plants. Rick North is one of the people behind the new bill. He's the project director of the Campaign for Safe Foods with Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. And he's joined me on the phone from Portland. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Peter.
So let's begin by defining some terms here. Now, what types of genetically modified plants would be covered by this bill?
Well, we're talking about so-called biopharmaceutical crops or industrial crops. And to define these are crops, plants that have been genetically engineered to produce drugs or industrial chemicals. And by genetically engineered, we do not mean crops that have been like traditionally bred like hybrid corn or from the same or similar species. We're talking about genetic engineering where you're taking a gene from one species and forcibly putting it into another that's not even distantly related.
And so then the chemical or whatever the drug is extracted afterwards at the end of the growing season or something?
That's correct. It would be, you're trying to create a new protein here. For example, say you've got a cow gene that has been injected into corn to produce a particular drug. What we're afraid of, it's not that the drugs or particular industrial chemicals don't have legitimate uses. It's just we're very afraid of the side effects that they could have. For instance, a number that have already been tested have been very, very concerned about causing, say, allergies, allergic reactions, pancreatic diseases. Another one, like contraceptive corn, has been tested. So we're just very, very concerned with what could get into our crops here and into the environment.
Yes, so you've mentioned health effects there. What are the concerns related to the environment?
Well, we already know, for the most part, they haven't even been tested for their effect on the environment, but I can tell you two of them. Aprotenin, that has been one that has been tested. We know that shortens the life of honeybees. And Avidin kills or impairs at least 26 species of insects, and most of them beneficial, or at least not harmful. So we know that they can have effects. These particular plants are intentionally made to have effects on the body, and they can also affect animals. What they could be doing on microorganisms in the soil, that's another big concern. Haven't seen anything on that. So what we do know is everything is connected. So if it's affecting one species in an ecosystem, it can affect the entire food chain.
Yes, well, we've seen, certainly with GM food crops, the transfer of genes from the cultivated varieties to the wild varieties, and that presumably could happen here as well.
Yeah, Canada has had, you've been on the front lines here in a lot of cases, and you're very familiar with the Percy Schmeiser case, and virtually canola now in Western Canada. I mean, you know this already. The genetically engineered kind has just basically contaminated all of your canola in Western Canada. It's virtually impossible to grow any that isn't now. This is how it can spread.
Yes, and with these sort of crops, it poses even more extraordinary thoughts. So what the companies involved in this research claim that the technology may produce drugs for diseases that don't have effective or affordable treatments. So how real are these suggested benefits?
Well, we all want, new, cheaper, more effective drugs. I mean, so, that's one thing I think everybody's on the same page in. The question is this the way to do it? What we've seen, we want to separate kind of the hype from the reality here. The number of tests being done, permits being allowed in the U.S., they reached their peak around 2000-2001, when there were around 40 of these permits allowed for this growing. That dropped to last year to just 10, and there are very few this year. So this is proving to be a lot more difficult. Most of the major, larger drug companies have dropped out of this or not gotten into it. For instance, Monsanto, which does far more of the genetic engineering than anybody else, they've dropped out. They didn't think this was profitable enough. So you've got typically smaller companies that are trying to do this. Not one drug ever, and they've been testing these since 1991, not one drug has ever been successfully approved by the FDA here in the U.S. From biopharmaceutical crops. In the same time, with other biotech techniques to produce drugs, which we are not opposed to, our main point is they should be in controlled, contained facilities. There have been a number of drugs, over 100, developed in traditional, conventional drug production. And that seems to be, you know, what so far anyway has been a lot more successful.
So now, why are food crops being used as opposed to other plants?
Typically cost, especially corn. Corn is being used about 70% of the time, and then other crops that have been tried are rice and soybeans, and tobacco has also been tried, and a few others.
But when you say cost, how is it cheaper, or how is it more cost-effective?
Well, corn, we know the genetics on corn, so that's part of it right there. But corn produces a lot of protein per plant, and that's cheaper. And corn can also be stored cheaper. It's, you know, just put it in a silo. That's, you know, it's why a lot of companies think that corn is better to deal with. The other side of that is corn, I mean, if it gets in if it gets into our corn supply, you may not be able to get it out. What we're talking here is, you know, I don't think anybody wants drugs in their food or industrial chemicals. You know, we just don't want that at any level, whether it's aspirin or anything else. We think that everyone should have the right to know and to say, you know, exactly what kind of drugs that you're ingesting. But these aren't just any drugs being tested. These are untested drugs, okay? If these get into our food, they haven't been through any kind of safety testing by the FDA. We're like human guinea pigs here. And the FDA has had its problems with drugs they put through, you know, the clinical trials, such as, you know, Vioxx has been in the news a lot in the past 6 months. And here's a drug that was approved that is strongly linked to causing tens of thousands of heart attacks. And that was put through clinical trials. Here we've got drugs that haven't been put through any kind of test like that.
So you mentioned earlier that the big companies like Monsanto are getting out or are not involved in this. How widespread then is the cultivation of these plants currently?
It's not widespread typically at all. There have been, you know, over 300 permits for these in the last 14 years, though. I can say in the last 4 years here in the Pacific Northwest, they've been all around Oregon. Oregon has not had any here for a number of years, but in, say, the state of Washington, there have been six in the last 4 years, six of these permits granted. Idaho, two. California, 10. So actually every state bordering us has had these permits granted for the growing of these biopharm or industrial crops. In this case, the genie is still in the bottle in Oregon, and we'd like to keep it there.
So what restrictions would the legislation that you're proposing put on the use of these plants?
What we're asking for in this legislation is a 4-year moratorium where no food crops would be used to produce these. That's either indoor or outdoor, and no outdoor planting of any crops, food or non-food. The legislation would not affect, if it's a non-food plant, and it's grown indoors, tested indoors, our bill would not affect those. We think there, in those particular instances, possible benefits may outweigh the risks. There would still be risks. They could escape. There could be mistakes made, but we think nothing's 100%, nothing's foolproof, so our bill would not restrict it. So it's not a total ban. It's more what we think are common sense restrictions.
What part of the legislative process is the bill currently at?
Well, we're in the Senate right now, and this bill passed out of the Senate's Environment and Land Use Committee. And what we thought up until a few days ago, as a matter of fact, that it would go directly to the state Senate for a vote. However, there were complications. In Oregon, every bill that goes through a committee has to go through the legislative fiscal office for an estimate on how much it would cost the state, or it could cost the state. And the estimate came back that this would cost over $200,000 for the next biennium. That would never fly. And our feeling is this would cost virtually zero. And to make a long story short, zero because there wouldn't be any crops planted here. It'd be a moratorium, and there would be nothing to inspect or test. So there have been a lot of discussions here in the past week, and bottom line is it is now going back with revised wording to get this fiscal estimate down to zero where we think it belongs. It's now back in the Senate Budget Committee, and that's where we are now. So we now have to pass it out of a second committee to get it to the Senate floor.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning about this interesting initiative.
It's been my pleasure, Peter, and I really appreciate your interest in giving us the call.
Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Rick North. He's with Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, and he was on the line from Portland.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.